basically you go out and work hard and try and save some money. But it's not the sort of myth you think of when you think of a rock star. You know, there's people who I sign autographs all the time. There's people who tattoo my portrait on them, as crazy as that seems. But when I go home, I don't have a housekeeper. I mow my own lawn with a push mower. That's a budget rock star.
Right. You tell us that not only do people maybe not always get that, I mean, make all kinds of assumptions about what your daily life is like, but they also have little or no conception about the hard work that is involved in this kind of life. What is the hard work of your professional life that the typical fan just does not begin to understand?
Well, to be a successful artist in any of the creative fields, it takes a lot of practice. I did not hatch out of a rock star egg. I didn't suddenly wake up and start touring the world and going on tour with Metallica. I don't know if you're familiar with them at all, or just the name. They're, you know, household name basically out of the heavy metal scene. We would go out and for 10 years, the first 10 years of our existence, we'd go out and tour and play shows 6 nights a week, 7 nights a week, selling our own merchandise, booking our own tours until we got to a certain point where we could afford to hire management, doing our own press, then coming home and going to another job. I devote a lot, especially in the beginning before I was able to fully make a living at this, I devoted a lot, basically all of my spare time to doing the band. If I was not at work at my restaurant job or my construction job, I was practicing. I have friends I have a good friend who's a professional ballet dancer, and he's 26 years old, and he's successful at what he does. He has a good career, and people see him dance, and he dances beautifully, and they're like, that is just so awesome that you get to be a ballet dancer. They don't see the guy at the end of the day after the show who's just completely wrecked. They don't know, like I do, that he's been doing this since he was 12 years old, honing his craft. You know, it's a craft, not just some sort of free-form creative expression. And being in a band is the same thing. You have to work. You have to practice. We'd practice 5 nights a week for years before anyone cared about us. Learning our instruments, learning how to write a song that was catchy to the ear, learning how to craft effective verses to sing, all of that stuff. It's hard work. It's not American Idol. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge, huge misconception with youth today. These reality TV shows, that's not how you make it as a professional musician. You make it by going out and playing to anyone and everyone, which in the beginning is not much of anyone, for years.
And that whole notion of waiting to be discovered and of sort of dreaming yourself into this career, it's just the biggest mistake that someone can make in terms of wasting their time. You also say in this chapter that most wannabe professional musicians are simply not strong enough. What is the kind of strength that probably 95% of aspiring professional musicians lack? Or another way to ask the question is, what kind of strength does it require to make it in this business?
Well, being talented and wanting it are not enough to make it in the business. If wanting something would make it happen, wanting it enough, or wishing, I would have been a professional skateboarder at age 14. There would have been Hawaiian Tropic models surrounding me and and people handing me trophies. But that's not how it works. You know, instead I'm a 40 some odd year old man who still loves skateboarding. One thing that people don't take into account, beyond the talent, beyond the desire to do this thing, beyond the ability to practice, is the strength to have certainty in what you're doing and not listen to anyone who tells you that you're wasting your time. Because when you are trying to be a professional musician, everyone is going to tell you you're wasting your time. They're going to criticize you. They're going to tell you you have to get a real job. They're going to tell you that you aren't talented enough. They're going to tell you that the odds are stacked against you. And people can be super dismissive. If you don't have a thick skin, that's basically the strength you need, an extremely thick skin, basically an armor-plated skin, and you don't have a chance. The first time you step on stage and someone yells, "You suck," which will happen, by the way, and you internalize that and take that personally, you're done. You know, you're done. So it's a internal certainty, I guess, that at times borders on what some people would call lunacy, I guess, or delusions of grandeur. You have to be certain that this is what you want and that you're going to do it for the love of what you're doing and that you are good enough. And what anyone else says really has no effect on how you live your life.
By the way, you give us a few glimpses into your early life. You're from Richmond, Virginia, originally, I think, and come from what sounds like a very loving family and had a very normal, positive kind of upbringing, it sounds like. What kind of musician were you growing up? In what way was music of interest to you? I mean, did you start out as a band nerd or a choir nerd or something?
I was band and theater nerd. I was first chair flautist for a while.
Wow.
Yes, I can still play a B-flat scale. my father played the banjo. I was in band up until, I don't know, eighth grade, I suppose. And then got really into skateboarding and listening to sort of punk rock music. But growing up in my family, there was a lot of NPR, by the way. The only family vacation we ever took was to St. Paul to see Prairie Home Companion Live. In the fifth grade, I snuck us backstage to meet Garrison Keillor. We still have pictures from that. It was pretty cool. I knew where I belonged from the beginning. But growing up, I suppose, you know, my father was a big jazz fan growing up. He had some Dave Brubeck records. He had a lot of the old Beach Boys records as well. And he had some classical. We listened to a lot of NPR. So, but growing up, beyond the stuff my father listened to, I started listening to some punk rock music at a very young age because I felt it had a bit more gravity than most of the boy meets girl stuff that was on top radio, top 40 radio. It has no interest for me whatsoever. And I don't think there's any reason for really any more love songs because no one is going to be able to top what Motown did in the 60s. You just aren't. You aren't going to write a better song, a love song, than Marvin Gaye or Al Green. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So when I discovered this sort of, you know, underground punk rock scene, I heard some social commentary, some dissatisfaction with the status quo, as it were. And I became involved really in that scene. And I did a couple little bands in high school that never really got out of the garage at all, never played a show. But it wasn't until I went to college, I moved to Richmond from Chesapeake, Virginia, actually, under the auspices of going to school for theater, because I went to a Governor's Magnet School for the Arts. for the last 2 years of my high school to study theater. And then I went to college under the auspices of learning, but really I was going to Richmond because it was a bigger city and they had more punk rock shows. So I started a band there, and it never really went anywhere until I joined my current band. And from there, you know, here we are. We formed in 94. I joined in 95. Here we are 20 years later, 21 years later, something like that.
Doing great. And by the way, having just released a new album called Sturm und Drang.
Yes. Good pronunciation.
I'm just curious about your parents, who obviously are open-minded, intelligent people and who loved you then and love you now. What did they make of this life, which ultimately was yours? I mean, does it make sense to them? I mean, do they ever go and actually hear you perform? I'm just trying to kind of picture your mom and dad at one of these concerts that Lamb of God performs.
You know, here's the thing. I do not blame my parents for the way they viewed what I did until it turned into a profession as being somewhat questionable, right? Because as I wrote, we were discussing earlier, becoming a professional musician is very hard. It's not really what you want your kid to tell you is going to be their career path. What are you going to do? I'm going to be a heavy metal singer. That's not really a viable career option to most parents. So for a long time, you know, I think they were quite worried, basically, like, what are you doing? Why don't you finish your college degree? Why don't you get a real job? You need health insurance. When are you going to grow up? I think sometimes they're still waiting for me to grow up. But my mother has come to see us several times. My father saw us once. I think that was enough for him. they respect what I do. They know that we are very highly respected in our field. And as musicians, they know it's taken them a long while to believe this, but other musicians recognize the technical prowess of my band. It's not easy music to play. It's not just a bunch of screaming, as some people perceive it as. It's really hard music to play, and it takes a lot of discipline. So now it's not something they're going to kick back and relax to. on a Saturday evening after a hard week at work. But you know, they're proud of me. They know that what I do is I'm respected for what I do, and it's it takes work. So that being said, it was a bit rough at first on them, I think.